Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Lowdown. Today, I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Didier Champeron, head of US Soccer Coaching Education. Didier, big warm welcome to the show.
Thank you, Connor. Thank you for your invitation.
Didier, where we begin with every guest, could you please take us through your earliest football memory?
Michel Platini. Michel Platini and great World Cup in 1986, 82, but I was a little kid. And then, 1986. And before that, 84, when France became European champion, and he scored a lot of goals. So he actually, France didn't win. He won the tournament by himself.
Absolute maverick of the game back in the day. And obviously, I mean, an awful lot of what we'll touch upon today within the football and sphere is coaching and your journey into that. But I mean, growing up as a young player in France, obviously looking up at role models like Platini and whatnot, I mean, what flavour of football did that inspire in you growing up?
I really believe it's top players inspire generation, and it's important to have top players in every country because it creates sort of DNA. Without top players, for me, it's kids need to dream. And top players make you dream. And before every national team game or top club games, you're gonna play with friends on the street before the game. After you watch the game with your parents and family, and after the game, you go back on the street and you're gonna play again. It's for me, this is the starting point of real football culture. So this is, to me, this is how football start with passion. And football doesn't necessarily start in club. It starts at home with family, with friends. It's about playing. It's about speaking about the game. It's about watching games with parents, friends, going through different type of emotion, very high, very low. This is how everything start to me.
And I'm curious to explore and unpack that a little bit more. You speak about top players creating this positive emotion, be it in dreams and be it creating memories at home. You know, that sort of inspiration there. I mean, is that what fed into the coaching bug?
I think the role of the coach is to inspire players to help them to play. But a coach is with players only 2 hours a day. If there is nothing outside the club structure, it's difficult to really develop players with this passion. To me, our game is the most fantastic game amongst all sport, and I love all sport, but it's all about passion. You can travel across the world. You will always be able to connect with people because of this shared passion. And other sports, it's not other sports are not a global game like football. So football is played everywhere in the world. Why? Because it's a simple game. It's very accessible. You don't need equipment. You don't need a field. You don't need money. And so for me, this is something very important at the very beginning. And then after, the role of the coach is to facilitate learning and trying to structure a little bit this passion into something more more connected with player development within the team, because at the end of the day, our game is a collective sport. But without individual passion, it's very difficult to achieve team results. So I really believe in individual development within the team. But within individual development, start before stepping into the first club for sure. But personal opinion, of course.
Of course. And then coaching as a profession, which you've done for countless years, what drew you into it, did you?
Same passion. Passion. Very early, I was very interested in the game, more from how does it work? How can we achieve result as a team? And I was very interested in everything around the training, so I was always asking question to my coach, and I started coach education very early when I was playing. So I would say the same. Can you coach without passion? Maybe you can, but I don't think you can have a good impact on player development. It's a very difficult job, and without passion, I don't think it's possible to survive at the highest level.
And we've had separate conversations, of course, over coffee, where you've alluded to coaching. You know, there's an art and there's a science to it. The way I interpret that is essentially the science is top down, pretty objective, but the art is subject to one's individual interpretation. Where do you sit on that kind of seesaw between the art and the science piece of coaching?
To me, everything starts with how can we develop others? And every individual player is unique and will have individual needs. So it's very important to understand that, to be able to identify needs and to supply these needs. So there is, nowadays, it's impossible to move into the coaching area without sports science knowledge. I would say it's impossible to be expert in everything, but the sports science represents the foundation of everything we're gonna do with players. But sports science is theoretical at the beginning. Now it's a what, I would say. How are we going to apply is coaching. So for me, we can't separate sports science to our day-to-day interaction with players. But if we are not able to recognize individual needs, I don't think we can really influence a player. So sports science for sure is an important component of our job, but then after it must be translated into action based on individual needs, and then all these individual needs must be put together into a team development plan. But to me, individual always coming first.
And then, I mean, look, obviously, the game of football is always adapting, it's always evolving. Therefore, you know, the role of a modern coach nowadays is also ever changing, it's ever essent. You know, in today's game, and as someone who's responsible for the rollout of coach education across the United States, how is US soccer adapting to the wider evolving definition of a modern soccer coach?
I don't know if the game is changing. I would say people are changing. We have more access to football knowledge now, not only us, but players. So this is the starting point. And then after, for me, something very important to consider, it's we are always part of an environment and a specific context. And to me, this is something very important to understand for a coach, understanding the environment and then identifying individual needs within this environment. So the individual is always part of a context. Now the coach needs to be able to find the appropriate development plan for helping every individual to reach their full potential. So in the past, the focus, I would say, was maybe a little bit more on the game training methodology. I would say more and more, I see a shift toward understanding who is in front of us and then trying to find the appropriate methodology to help players to develop their full potential, but also to perform more consistently. This is the complexity of coaching. And what might work in one environment might not work in another environment. So it's always about for a coach, the coach needs to understand what is going on, or what is the club history, if there is one, what is the club structure, who is doing what, and trying to build on existing foundation. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. We tend to restart from scratch with our beliefs. And I would say this is not how I look at player, coach, club development. We always need to respect the past, the existing foundation, and then after trying to find ways to develop people in this context. Not only players, people.
Yeah, I'm curious to unpack that a little bit more about the people side, because you said the game isn't evolving, but people are. And within that, there's obviously a huge kind of resonance to kind of understand self more before you can understand others. And the transfer there of focus from what is, i.e., the game, i.e., analysis, sports science, to understand yourself more as an individual. You know, we're speaking about these harder skills. How does the transfer of understanding oneself, the emotional intelligence stuff, understanding oneself as a leader, how's that baked into the current curriculum of courses, did you?
Yeah, it's huge. When I said, let me make a step back, it's when I say the game is not evolving, I'm speaking about if you look at laws of the game, they have not changed a lot. Some big change had an impact, of course. But what I mean, it's players, coaches are evolving the game because they have access to knowledge. In the past, coach education was only when you were attending a course organized by the Federation. Now, when you look at YouTube and you have so many organizations offering online courses and podcasts, and for me, this is coach education. So now, after individually, a coach must take responsibility of his self-development. So I really believe self-development, it's you have three main components. It's the intrapersonal component, it's you and yourself. So everything connected with the management of your emotion based on your personality traits. Then after interpersonal skills, you and others, how you are going to create a culture of collaboration, how you are going to connect with your players. But more than that, it's at grassroots level, it's parents and then academy director, other coaches, and at top level, it's you interact with more than 100 people a day. So these components are very, very important. And then you have the professional side. And we always need to develop our professional competency. The game, everything around the development of game understanding, but then after everything leading to the game, I mean player, team, and player and team development, and of course a training methodology. So the development, the self-development part is vital, and we need to recognize where we are and what do we need to improve to have more impact on our players. But more than that, it's also building a career pathway. And we are always in one of these three domains: intrapersonal, interpersonal, and the professional domain. And in the professional domain, depending on where you start, you will have something very basic around game understanding and training methodology. But the more you progress, and then after, yeah, it's time to dive into the different component of sports science. So, and I don't, when I hear now it's all about leadership. No, it's not all about leadership. It's the full development of a coach. Must occur within this free domain, and there is no hierarchy. You decide, you take responsibility. What I can say, it's maybe now too much information. So most difficult is to filter and to identify steps that will help us to improve. And attending a course, yes, it's important, and it will actually, for me, the real education and development should occur in between courses. Then after, when you regroup and attend what I call a formal course leading to a certification, it's more about recognition of competency leading to certification, but also identifying future steps for your professional development plan. So the federation or the club is not responsible for coach development. We are responsible for coach development. The federation, as governing body or membership or the club, are opportunities for development, and they might offer. But if we do not take responsibility individually, development will not occur. So it's a very intentional effort we need, but we need to start. But then after, it's very motivating, because as soon as you start such process and you are well organized, you identify key areas, you identify steps. I am going to do that. I am going to read this book. I am going to implement what I have learned. I am going to track progress. I'm going to collect data and to track progress to see actually if we see change in behavior, development and progress and change in behavior occur very, very, very quickly. But we need to know exactly what we are looking for, and we need to measure progress. This is something we teach to our players, the player IDP. I hear a lot about the player IDP. What about our IDP? Do we have one IDP? Are we serious? Do we update it regularly? Do we measure progress? Do we work with someone to support us in this difficult progress? So this is something important, and we try to create awareness in our curriculum, create awareness, engage people in this development process. And to me, it's always great when I meet people who attended a course 2, 3 years ago, and then we speak and we discuss about professional development. Where are you and what are your next step? And it's great because I know these players influence others because they want to develop this self-development and positive attitude toward learning is the key to success.
You speak about real development happening in between courses, and obviously, in football, it's such a fast-paced industry where we're go, go, go. So it can be quite hard to kind of hit the pause button to stop and reflect. But what does good reflection look like to you, Didier?
To me, a reflection is something structured, is part of the development process. First of all, it's in your development plan, it's about identifying what we want to achieve and the steps. Then after we monitor progress, and we need to sit down regularly. And it doesn't take time, and it doesn't take time. It's just about organizing a meeting with yourself and comparing what you wanted to did, what you wanted to do, and what you really did, and measuring the gap and trying to understand why we faced some challenges. Most of the time, we must struggle, because learning occur in difficult situation. Trying to interpret all data we have collected and why it didn't work. Trying maybe to identify new ways because we grow. Some priorities might change. So it's an evolving process. But there is a time for planning, a time for implementing, and a time for reflecting. And to me, real reflection starts with evidence and interpretation of data to make what I would say the next step is to plan again. And again and again. Actually, to me, it's like a spiral. It's not a development cycle. This cycle should become a spiral. So moving from here to here, from A to B. Sometimes people think a reflection is just something like that. I really believe a reflection should occur one time a week, just writing things down without emotion and trying to understand why we didn't do what we were supposed to do. After we can find excuses. But at some point, we make the decision to focus on something specific. And most of the time, because we are busy and we don't do it, but we are responsible for that. We are the one planning. So, but we need to feel comfortable with that. It's difficult. It's a difficult process. But step by step, when we become intentional, at some point after reflection, we become more accurate in the planning phase. At the very beginning, we are too ambitious. We are all over the place. But then, step by step, we realize, okay, let's focus on only one thing. I have my entire life. I am not going to become the best coach in the world. I don't need to become the best coach in the world next week. And I don't think there is one best coach in the world. Let's try to develop something that will give me more joy, and will impact more people. This is how I look at the development process and reflection. The reflection phase is a key one.
And I'm interested to unpack the development phase a little bit more because, I mean, every time I'm speaking with you, you're somewhere new, be it Portland, be it Orlando, be it Kansas, predominantly, rolling out the pro license with male and female coaches across the country. So meeting people where they're at is a big theme, especially be it different, cultural considerations, different stages of one's career, different growth cycles of the club they're at. But I'd love to unpack a little bit more your process in terms of, are you meeting people where they're at? Are you trying to make them more well-rounded coaches? Are there weaknesses? Or are we in the process of not just refining, but improving and harnessing one's super strengths as a coach?
Again, it depends on individual. Something very important to understand, it's we are all different and we have a different personality traits. So I spend time in identifying who I am going to work with and what is the best approach to connect with this person. So we are all different. And the starting point is not me, is the person I am going to work with. And then after, it requires a lot of effort to me based on my own personality traits to develop, I would say, a communication strategy. So first of all is building relationship always. And then after defining, okay, how are we going to collaborate? So trying to clarify things. It's the very beginning, and it's important because it's about trust here. And easy to speak, not so easy to not so easy to implement. So I really want individual to know I am here to support your individual process. I am not going to share my opinion. It's you, it's your coaching life. It's okay. We all have different values, beliefs, ways of working. What is important is we need to recognize where we are, where we want to be. Then after, I will try to help you to get or to get where you want to be. Difficult during a course. To me, at least we need to move toward where we want to be in the future. And I hope after this period, every individual coach I had the opportunity to work with will continue and will also develop the same process with their staff. So it's I would say you have two different approaches. You are player centered or you are curriculum centered. The same for coaches. The starting point is the person in front of you or the course curriculum. To me, it's important or to have standards in mind. And when we are evaluating people, it's about being clear. It's a professional coach. This is the standards you need to demonstrate during the course. But this is not the starting point of our development process. The starting point is you, where are you in this different domain? And wherever you are, my job is to help you to develop, regardless the environment, regardless the environment. And at the end of the course, my assessment, if I did a good job, should meet your self-assessment, because we have collaborated, and We have evaluated progress regularly with evidence. So I'm going to help you, for example, to collect data in the key area you are focusing on. And then after we can discuss until we see a real change in behavior and it becomes part of your new you. And then we move on to into a different domain or same domain, different different objective. This development plan for me, it's up for you. It's a 40-year plan. It's a 40-year plan. So big picture, but what I am going to do every day, we should do something. And top coaches who influence players, I am not speaking about Guardiola or whoever, a top coach. We have top coaches at grassroots level working with players 6 to 8. And I know some very good coaches, they have a development, they have a development plan, and they have an impact on their player. And the club is very happy because they retain players. Players they don't want to leave when they work with a good coach. So the development plan is key for players, but for coaches as well.
If it's okay with you, I mean, what we discussed off air too, I'd love to hear you unpack it because I think it goes hand in hand with what we spoke about understanding oneself, Didier. That's about being value-led and value-driven in terms of the compass.
Oh yeah, to me, values are very very important in the development process. It depends how people look at values. For me, values are who I am, and I am using my values as a compass. And when I have a difficult decision to make, most of the time, 80% of the time, I find a quick answer in my values. If there is no alignment, you have a problem because that means you try to be someone else. And it doesn't work. It can work for a short period of time, but we need to accept we are who we are. And then after it's making sure our decision are aligned with who we are or who we think we are. And when you evaluate yourself in your development process, and if you see a gap between your decision and your values, maybe it's time to restart at the dev at the fun very, very beginning of your development plan, values. Values. Why? Values are important, and what values represent who I am and how I am going to use them. It's not just words for me, it's top clubs. Now it's I can see every club they have values, but it's on the wall or slide deck. When you ask people, can you describe the expected behavior behind your values? And with players, with a club technical leader, and it's not very clear. How do you use your value? Oh, we don't use them. Right? We make a presentation to parents. Again, it's just my opinion. Values is something very, 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 very strong. I even, you know, after it's individual values, but then after, as a coach, defining team values. Then defining staff values. This is something we should do every year. But then after it's about evaluating regularly or monthly, how did we perform against our values? Individual reflection. Were we all aligned? And if you do that, you might have some surprise. But I really believe it's important. It's important to be able to explain who we are, and explain why we do what we do. Easy when you are values driven, it's very easy to explain why you do what you do. Some people might like or dislike it, but it's not your problems. You are aligned, but you are able to explain. You are able to explain.
Speak about, development as, a lifelong game. It's a long-term game. It's one which you're still playing. We spoke at the very start about being inspired by the brilliance of Michel Platini, being curious to understand about more about yourself, more about others. I mean, what stage of your learning journey are you at now, Diddy? And I mean, what outside influences outside of football perhaps are you drawn to?
At all level, for me, you learn when you watch a Champions League game, when you watch World Cup, when you watch MLS, USL, NWSL. It's very important for me to understand the US game, but also every opportunity I have on regular basis when I travel and there is a game at grassroots level. I stop by and I watch games. You have the game by itself, but then I observe a player coach behavior. So I always need to think about something. So I am not inspired in one style of play, one specific methodology. I am curious and I always try to understand why people do what they do and try to identify their process to develop their own beliefs or their own philosophy. So for me, always trying to understand, and then after it's you like things more than others and developing your personal philosophy, your personal methodology. But in my position, the starting point is always trying to understand what individual or organization are trying to achieve and try to organize things into a process to get ready to have a conversation with them. And I don't share my opinion unless people want to know. But for me, my job is more about supporting others to develop to develop what they believe in and to have, I would say, to build something that will have a long-term impact.
Didi, I really enjoyed this conversation today. I've taken a lot away from it, and I know a lot of people listening will have kind of self-reflected in amongst the podcast, and there's so much gold to go back here and sift through. But for people that slightly bit inspired from listening to you today, learning a bit more about your journey, what would be the one bit of key advice you'd have for them?
Tomorrow you have an opportunity to be better than today. And soccer, football is fun, and we need to keep it fun. Our job in coaching is to make sure we create safe environment. Safe environment for me, an environment where players will have opportunity to take risk, to learn through our support. I really believe our job is to facilitate learning, and if we want players to learn, we need to encourage them to make decision and to make autonomous decision. Then after, our job is to help them to see how can they improve. But it starts with why did you make this decision? And then helping you to maybe to think about option you have not considered, when you made this decision. And when you develop this type of relationship on daily basis on the field with players, it becomes great. It becomes great for everybody. It's a lot of fun, a lot of smile. And when it doesn't work, you know, we all have good days, bad days. We have fun and we laugh. And as a coach, we need to recognize that we are not supposed to be perfect. So, and when it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And it's okay to say, you know what, guys, my bad. It's not a good day for me. So humility is something very very important. If humility, safe environment, fun, and when it doesn't work today, it's gonna work tomorrow or in the future because I have my development plan in mind. And I know it didn't work yesterday, but I feel confident because I am going to work on it and I will try to understand why it didn't work. But at some point, it will work for sure.
Thank you so much, Didier, for joining me on the show today.
It was a pleasure, Connor. Thank you very much, and look forward to catching up again with you with a good coffee.